unanimous. Revealed writing. Karen, anything in the staff report?
Yes. As you may recall, we issued two RFPs. One looking for a chief labor negotiator and consultant for the board to assist the board in negotiations under the Myers-Millius-Brown Act, the MMBA. And the second RFP was for a labor and employment council. The period closed last Friday, and we received two proposals for the chief negotiator position, and those both were from law firms. We had a discussion with you about it. The chief negotiator could be a lawyer or could be a non-lawyer. The proposals that we have are from two law firms. Both meet our criteria for what we were looking for. The second RFP for a labor and employment law firm yielded five proposals from law firms, two of which are also the same law firms that are bidding for the chief negotiator role. So we wanted to give this update to the board and ask you how you would like to proceed in the selection process. We think that for the chief negotiator RFP, we can have that scheduled to have both law firms that have submitted proposals come before the board and meet you in open session and ask questions and make your selection. And with regards to the five law firms that submitted a proposal for the labor and employment position, we're sort of open to suggestions. Would you like to see all five? Would you like to maybe appoint an ad hoc committee to go through the five and narrow it down to maybe a couple or three possibilities for the full board to consider?
Question.
Do you is there any issue in the situation where you have a quote chief negotiator and the same firm being the labor and employment firm for us? In other words, does that create the potential for rightly or wrongly hostility, difficulties in having that person be,
or a conflict even?
Right. Yeah, and possibly a conflict. I mean, I don't know enough about it to know whether, but yeah, just as Brian said, maybe there's a conflict. Is that something that you guys are working through or you're thinking about?
It's possible. We honestly don't have experience with this, yeah. And we've looked at what other smaller districts are doing, and some have a law firm that does both. Some have a separate person do the negotiating and a separate person advising on the law. And some have multiple law firms on the labor and employment side, some focusing on the negotiations, but others focusing on other, maybe bigger legal issues. So there's a variety there, we don't have a good answer because we don't have experience with it, but there is certainly a potential for conflict.
Okay.
Jerry, you have a question? In terms of chief labor negotiator, you've only received two. So I think we just interviewed the two. In terms of the labor employment law firms, you received five. I think maybe you and maybe two other board members ought to sit down and go through five and whittle it down to three, and we interview three. That would be my suggestion. The second part of it is that before they do the presentation, when we do an RFP for outside funds, they usually have a whole set of questions, and I think you've done that. And we get a printout of their answers to those questions, and I would like to see that before we interview them. I just don't want to see them cold. So that's, and part of it, part of that I would hope would include a client, some of a client list of similar clients to us, so that we have some identification with who they are actually working with. Mm-hmm. And that's where I stand. So
you're talking about we haven't really submitted questions to them previously, right. But you want to see the RFPs.
Yes.
If you're on
yes.
The right.
Yes. Written.
Okay.
The proposals. Right?
Pardon?
The RFP and the proposals that are submitted?
Yes, and the responses.
The responses.
Yeah. Responses.
I guess I'm not envisioning the conflict very clearly at this point, but I would assume that there would be two separate partners in the same firm for the two separate roles. It would surprise me that you'd have the same partner, lead person, for both roles. So you would have a division. I would assume that the firm would attempt to make a case that by a single firm serving us in these two categories, these two capacities, that it would be to our benefit and theirs. They have a single bond of knowledge, if you will, as opposed to two separate ones. I'm sort of thinking out loud here, and I think there's probably some merit in that. So and maybe in terms of looking at the three, narrowing it down to three, to the extent that there's a slight bias in favor of the two that are proposing on the negotiating side, that they be given that slight bias. That's sort of my first reaction.
The current proposals identify the same team for both, and not creating some sort of an ethical wall like you're describing between the group that does the negotiation and the group that does.
I guess I'm thinking the skill set here. It would seem to me
that's
not
something to consider when we look at the options.
Negotiations I did, we used to have law firm did both. Their one side of that law firm only did labor management stuff, and the other firm, like the same the partners, one was the expert in labor management, and that's all they did. And then the other firm did
the negotiations,
other stuff. I mean, they did.
Yeah. I'm not sure there's a conflict, because once the MOU is in place,
right.
Then we all operate under it. So.
Under it, yeah. I mean, and once you get that firm or the negotiations done, any type of legal problem that comes up, that side usually handles it and not the other side. The other side is busy doing their own thing. If they handle, like these firms just don't handle labor management stuff. They handle criminal stuff. They handle civil stuff on the other side. But they have partners that they're basically assigned to labor management negotiation, period. And then this side does a civil procedure on building codes or something. You know what I mean? This one handles criminal defense.
Well, that's my mind's eye view, and so I would assume that was the premise for the assumption that you would have two different partners with two different skill sets dealing with the two sides. It sounds like it wasn't proposed that way.
No.
So,
well, yeah, they don't usually get involved in the other's maybe discussions, but they don't. The one partner has the overall.
I don't see an ethical problem.
Oh, no.
If you have the same attorney and or negotiator handling the
there may not be ethical problems. There may not need an ethical barrier. So just to pile on this discussion, so to be blunt, I guess the thing that I was thinking about is I'll assume that neither of the two chief negotiator proposers represented BART in the recent labor negotiations.
That would be one of the
questions. Because if they did, it would matter to me. But secondly, it's that kind of scenario, which I view as, I hope, an outlier scenario that we would never see, but the kind of the tensions that could result from a difficult negotiation, which I would hope we would not have, but if in the untoward event we did, that would carry over and affect that firm's ability to service in other areas or to have everybody have confidence in them and so on. And that's what I was really kind of getting at in between the chief negotiator and the firm situation. I see those as two different things, probably not unlike John sees them as two different individuals in the sense that it's different skill sets and different purposes, but there may be some utility in them not being the same. Don't know, but just I'm throwing that out there to think about.
To Jerry's suggestion, it probably would be helpful to have at least two board members take a look at the five proposals, and we can talk about some of the labor and employment issues in more detail and see how those might fit to respond to our needs.
And I would suggest it be one of our one member of the board who represents labor and one member who doesn't on that group overseeing it. Then everybody has, I mean, you can bring different perspectives to trying to figure that out.
So we can put that recommendation, if you will, in a memo to the board at an upcoming meeting and have the board appoint as you wish.
You want to do it right now? You just don't want to do it now?
Well, we don't have enough people. I'd rather.
You want to wait till we have the entire board?
I mean, Rusty may want to do it. I'm not interested, so I'll take myself.
Oh, your manager.
Well, yeah, that's my point. I mean,
all right.
We've got John, we've got Deborah, we've got Scott, who are. Right.
So we probably need to agendize it and then bring
it up. We certainly
can.
We have the time to.
Talk about it and.
I mean, I'll do it.
Select.
But I don't think
have
you
some
want
people
me.
Select. Okay.
If we can't, I mean, just we could put it on next week's agenda or the week after, whichever, if it is possible. Just put it on for appointing the committee.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Okay. Vicki, anything? Anything new in debits and credits?
They keep trucking along.
In the world of double entry accounts.
Okay.
And just so you know, that's not all that Vicki does.
Oh, yeah. I
just do debits and credits.
Diminishing her.
Just reconciliations, too.
Exactly.
Kurt, any report? Nothing. Tim?
He's already reported.
just a quick comment. We received the RFP responses for the investment consultants RFP Monday evening. We have 13 responses. Cortex is going to prepare a memo for the board saying who meets minimum qualifications.
13.
We proceed apace with the investment consultant committee.
Bridge Bank.
Okay.
Bridge
Bank. We are working on budget for next year, which I will be bringing back to the board next month. Christina has been working diligently on our internal remodel. Tim and his staff will be in their new offices in a few weeks. It has stayed on track and pretty much stayed on budget, which is nice. That's all that I had.
Okay. Are we outside the professional, Harvey?
Briefly. I want to offer a media warning, which is akin to the thing you see in your outside rear view mirror. Bankruptcy court rulings that you hear about are actually smaller than they appear in the press. You've read that Armageddon has struck in the Stockton bankruptcy case, the death knell of public pensions, CalPERS biting the dust, etc. And I just want to warn you about what sometimes you read in the media. Judge Klein didn't rule on anything. Judge Klein made some comments from the bench in classic bankruptcy court style. It was always said in my long bankruptcy court practice years ago that in the halls of justice, the only justice is in the halls, which essentially means that basically what bankruptcy judges do is they try to scare the bejesus out of you and then send you out in the hall to cut a deal. And that's kind of what Judge Klein did. He did it 2 years, four years ago in the Vallejo bankruptcy too. He did not rule on anything that is actually going to likely to happen in that case. He made comments that he thought, in his view, that federal bankruptcy law would allow a city to reject its contract, its relationship with CalPERS, and make the debt owed to CalPERS a unsecured claim in bankruptcy. But he didn't rule. He actually said he was going to hold off until at least October 30th, to issue any ruling. And the reason why he didn't rule is because only a city or county that files bankruptcy can propose a plan. The court can only rule on a plan that's been proposed. They can rule whether it's fair or unfair to creditors and feasible for the city to get out of bankruptcy. He made no such ruling. He basically sent a shot across the bow to the city and to CalPERS to basically go out and cut a deal with Franklin Templeton. And then he's going to reserve judgment on that. So you will see headlines from the Wall Street Journal to the New York Times to every rag and blog across the United States that says that this is the end of public pensions as we know them. People will have an off-ramp now in bankruptcy court to get off the highway of their pension benefits and take a detour. And I just want you to take everything you read about this with a grain of salt until an actual ruling comes down. When a ruling comes down, I'm going to give you a copy of it. Because if it does come down, it's going to then be appealed, of course, and it's only one bankruptcy judge's opinion. But it's the way this has been paraded out in the press is as if it's a fait accompli, as if it had been handed down by the Supreme Court of the United States. And we're a long way from that happening. So just that's my mirror warning to you to always be careful about what you read about. It ain't necessarily so.
That's interesting. I could follow up on it because I went to the CalPERS seminar 2 weeks ago, and they had the, you know, pro-labor and, well, not pro, but management and labor, and they were mentioning this particular case, and basically they said they're all under a gag order, that they can't talk about it. So it's interesting that there's press out there, or at least Rocky made that comment, that there's, because there's so many groups that have made these deals, as you mentioned, and so that was the one, I guess.
That's true in San Bernardino's bankruptcy.
Oh, and this
Stockton is all the dirty linen is hanging out.
Oh, so this was, I'm sorry, is it really? Yeah, in San Bernardino, yeah, okay. Was
yeah, they're doing what the judge said. Judge, jury in San Bernardino did the same thing. Go out in the hall and cut a deal. So they're all sitting around with mediators cutting deals. And until the deals get inked, nobody is allowed to talk about them. That's part of the deal. So.
But somebody's
we'll see.
Talked.
Well, of course.
Of course.
Thank you.
Trustee comments, anybody?
What?
Trustee comments?
I haven't. Go ahead. You go first. Well, I just wanted to wish a happy birthday to our supervisor and trustee Karen Mitchell.
Oh, happy birthday.
Next Tuesday. Next Tuesday.
We'll see
there's
you
a little
next
party
Tuesday.
Tomorrow. But
well, yeah, there's a little party.
Yes. So happy birthday.
Oh, I also wanted to mention, Jerry Tellis's birthday is this month as well?
Today.
Whoa!
Oh, a Libra! I knew there was a reason we got, and we both like purple. You know, there you go.
Happy birthday.
I'll bring you a tiara cookie. I'm having
a tiara cookie.
That's what he needs.
I also have a comment, though, other than birthday. I went with Tim to Carpenter Bank Client Conference in San Jose last week, and Carpenter Bank has invested in Bridge Bank. In San Jose, and Bridge Bank has a little niche. They look for, they're a little bit beyond a startup company. They're companies that are beginning to show a profit, and they're in the stage where they need growth and they need money for growth, and they have a track record. And Bridge Bank, lends money to them so that they can advance their business. And And again, the mother company is Carpenter Bank, who gives them. So it was a good conference. I was impressed with their niche and the way they described it. I was impressed with the CEO of Bridge Bank and his staff. They were really good. And so I think our money is well spent with Carpenter. I think we're doing well with them. One of the things that that they did invest in, which was back east, that at first it looks really good, but there could be some drawbacks to the practicality of using it. They're investing in a company that's created a garbage can that can compact the garbage to 1/8 of its original size.
Big belly. So, big belly solar.
Huh?
Big belly solar.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then once it's full, it has a cellular signal that will send a message to the garbage company that you can now come and get me because I'm full.
Yep.
And it was, I thought it was the coolest thing going. But then again, okay, so if garbage companies decide they want to use this thing, what's it going to do to their labor groups and their people who work? So they're going to have to cut, just so you drop your workforce by 8, you know, that's, so I don't know. But it might have a great use for outlying areas, countryside. I don't think it has a use in cities. But I was impressed with the product.
Yeah.
So
you'll see them all over the place in cities. Now.
You see them now?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, that's the first I'd heard of it. And I was like, this is cool. Of course, my friend here may not like it.
I just think it's funny that the Bridge Bank makes bridge loans.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what it sounded like.
Yeah, is it all debt? Is it all...
That's what it is.
Debt deals?
Mm-hmm. So, that's it.
Don't all call your brokers at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big stampede out here now.
It's nice to know there's bright minds out there making new products that we never thought of ourselves.
Yep.
We wish we had.
Never knew we needed. Anything else? Well, we'll adjourn in celebration of Karen and Jerry's birthdays.
Hey. To the Libras.
We did also get coffee cake today. I don't know if you
know. I noticed it was very nice.
Steve also has a birthday this month.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's just overwhelming all of this love.